Mark, the fourth chapter, and beginning at verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he, Jesus, saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. One of the most profound revelation breakthroughs in the entire Word of God. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Say that with me. Other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I ministered on this portion of God's word Wednesday night. And then I turned on a Christian channel, and there was Oral Roberts on Thursday night ministering from Mark, the fourth chapter, verse 35 through 40. I said, Joy, look at this. And of course, you always hear something a little different, but in the mainstream, saying basically some of the same things. And it ministered to me how that after all these years, Oral Roberts was being interviewed by Benny Hinn, and he was sharing from this portion of God's Word. I have a thought and a theme that's very much in my heart, some of the same, but take maybe a little different turn here today, and I feel it very strongly. As you look at Jesus and his disciples getting on board, there was a great invitation. In fact, this is one of the things we really teach strongly in Bible school. That God's not against us, God is for us. We may be against ourselves, but God loves us. And what did Jesus say before the boat ever left the shore? Let us. Not let me, but let us pass over to the other side. And do you know that Jesus has said that to every born again believer? You may know it, you may not know it. He said, let us, you and me, let us pass over to the other side. And so they got into the boat. Great invitation. Let us go to the other side. And I'm telling you, so many people live a life of misery because they never know whether they're in, out, off, on, up, down. We do the petals on the roses. He loves me, he loves me not. Or the daisies. He loves me not. We never really know, is God mad at me or is God glad with me today? Let me tell you something. There's not a one of us that could make it without the grace of God. Not one. Preachers included. Show me your little rule book for how we're going to make it. There's only one way we're going to make it, and it's because of the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, your cooperation with that. That's a given. That's understood. Well, a great storm came up. And that's where most people bail out. I gave my life to Jesus, but a storm came. Well, join the club. A storm came. A wind, an adverse wind began to blow on that sea where we have been so many times. And the waves, it can just blow up before you know it. And because of the geographical location and the winds, it's all something around 15 miles by 8 miles. That's not a big sea, but they call it the Sea of Galilee. Great wind. We know something about tornadoes. We know a little something about hurricanes. We know something about straight line wind. We've had that in Fort Worth and the Metroplex. A straight line wind can take a building out. And we know something about great waves. Not as much as they knew on that occasion. The third thing that we see, not only was there a great storm, but there was a great fear that came. And this is one of the points that Oral Roberts brought out. With sickness always comes fear. With financial attack always comes fear. With bad news, it always comes with a package of fear. It's bad. It's going to get worse. There's no way out. I've had it. I have this pain. It's the worst pain in the world. There's no answer for it. And it's going to get worse. See, Satan will attack you, but it's always of whatever that is plus fear. It's all in the same package. He attacks us in our minds and in our thought lives. For as a man thinketh, so is he. In fact, these disciples, you know, we've all faced it. We've all thought it. I mean, there have been times when momentarily I said, there's no way out of this situation. We've come through some deep waters over these many years that we've been founders and pastors of this church. I mean, real situations. And for a moment, if you go to your mind, you've had it. You've got to keep your mind hooked up with your spirit, which is connected to the Word of God. Can't let your mind be a rebel. A great fear came. Are we going to make it? Is this it? Is this the big one? What's it all about? A great fear. You say, well, you mentioned that a lot. Well, every problem you have is rooted in fear. Excuse me. Every problem we have, there are roots of fear there, and that's why I keep attacking fear. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know that numb feeling that feels like every drop of blood has drained out of you, and oh my God, is this it? And then you've got to kick back into faith. And remember that the just shall live by his faith. We don't live by the doctor's report, although I have great respect for the medical practice. We don't live by the financial. We don't live by what your relatives or someone else may say. We live by the word of God. A great fear. Are we going to make it? And then there was a great command. Winds and the waves obey his will. Peace, be still. I woke up saying that one morning this week. Peace, be still. Speak that. Don't. Oh, how could I say this? Don't be absorbed with your storm. Don't let your storm cause temporary blindness as to the answer. All you can think of is wind and storm and the howling of the winds. Don't let yourself become, or if you have become, stand up now and in your spirit and say, I will not be absorbed with my storm. I got a phone call this last week. A couple that in the early part of our ministry, they've both gone on to be with the Lord. And she was working on her doctorate degree up in Denton, and they drove down, and we were very, very good friends during those days. And they've both gone on to be with the Lord now. And one of their boys, the problem child, the young man that was always going left when everyone was going right, a young man who seemed to have no spiritual, you know, you just wonder how some people slip through the net. It just seemed like there was not a spiritual sensitivity in him. But he called me four times before we made connection. And when I called back, This young loser is now a born again believer. He lives in another state. He's a born again believer. He has his own business. It's not, you know, a rich business, but I mean, he's building it up. And he's concerned about his daughter, his little daughter, because his wife, well, they got married when they were strung out and, you know, a lot of problems came along. And he's concerned about the time that his daughter spends with his ex. And he said, would you just pray with me that God will break through to my daughter? Just pray with me. And, you know, I thought about all the times that Mary June said, would you please pray for my son? And of the three boys, he was the most insensitive. In fact, it just kind of seemed like he came from a different planet. But I'm going to tell you, no tree's too big to come down when the law of faith is employed. The prodigal son has come home. And now, even though he's on his own, and his dad and mom have gone on, and he's come through divorce, and he's came through a business disappointment, his faith is in God. And he said, you know, Pastor Bob, I remembered you as being a man of prayer and a man of faith. And something just told me to call you and ask you to agree with me. And I want to encourage every parent in this room today. Your child is not too big for God. Your child is not too hard for God. I mean, they may just seem to be totally out of it, but God is bigger than all the craziness that surrounds some young people's lives. And as I talked to him, I'm scratching my head and I said, is this the same young man that I used to know, that I preached his mother and his father's funeral several years ago, and just no sensitivity? But I tell you, our God is an awesome God. Just like some of these Bible school graduates, they said we were saved and, you know, we knew that we were born again, but it's a different world. We've learned who we are and what we have in Christ. And you can attend this church or any other church, and until you find out who you are and what you have in Christ, and until you relax and let Jesus say, peace be still in your life, you're going to be a bundle of nerves the rest of your existence. Peace be still. And the Bible said there was a great peace. Now, there was a great rebuke. Jesus, he said, have you no faith? As I read from the Matthew's account of that, in essence, what Jesus was saying, why didn't you use your faith? You have faith, but you flunked this test. How come you have no faith? Why have you not used your faith? See, Jesus was saying, you too can say, peace be still. You too can take authority over the enemy. You too can speak up and God will hear and answer your prayer. Here's the truth that I want to get over to us. It's a little phrase that as many times as I've read this, so help me, I do not remember the Spirit of God targeting this. In Mark chapter 4, verse 36, it said there were also with him, with Jesus and the disciples, other little ships. Not just Bible school graduates, but ladies and gentlemen, and everyone that comes to Calvary Cathedral International, and those that are listening by radio, because we'll probably share this session with radio. Do you know what our life is all about? It's not about me, me, me. How great I am. How great I am. No, it's not. My family. You know what life should be all about? God, others, me. And I heard some Hollywood personality being interviewed. And she said, well, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And no one understands that. It's all about me. I thought, oh, you pitiful thing. Folks, what the reason for you living on planet Earth is other little ships. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, for you to be born again, yes, that's number one. But from that moment forward, Jesus came to seek and to save others. Others. He didn't come to this earth for himself. He came for us. He died on the cross for our sins. He bore in His own body our sins on the tree. And the thing I want to get over to us in this service today is what it's all about, folks. It's not all about me. It's not all about my four and no more. What life is all about is not your little spoiled hide that wants everything the way you want it, just when you want it and how you want it. And I'll throw a hissy fit if I don't get my way. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. I was in a public place the other day, and a child caused World War III or IV. And the mother said, "I just don't know what to do with him." I said, "If I wouldn't be sued, I can tell you what to do with him, and I'll do it if you just..." The problem is we're raising a generation. I see it all the time. Our kids don't need everything we can give them. They need God. They need unfeigned faith. If all they have is a box... Have you ever seen a child get a Christmas toy and he loved the box more than he loved the toy? I used to just love boxes. The bigger the better. We'd make clubhouses out of them. Man, I'd always have two or three boxes in the backyard. I just love boxes, you know. You can dream in them, you can... But what your kids need is not the best of everything. They need Jesus. They need faith in God. Now, let me give you two or three examples here. One of the most important parts of this message today is when the storm began to roll and the winds began to blow, there were other little ships. Other little, said little ships. Now let me ask you a question. If the big ship's in trouble, where in the world are the little ships? If we who have heard and heard and heard and we're flapping like a window shade in the wind, what about the other little ships? You know, we should be like whatever it is, a John Deere or what's the other name of the heavy equipment to... Caterpillar, that's what I was looking for. We ought to just be like a caterpillar. We ought to have one speed, F-A-I-T-H. Boy, it fascinates me to watch one of those big cats drop a blade and just move stuff. Trees go down. Oh, I'd like to do that on Monday morning. Just put it in gear. Drop it. Drop that blade and just move some dirt. Take a few buildings out. Take some trees out. Crack, crack, crack. You know, that's what we ought to be on Monday morning. Not someone that's blown about by every wind. Oh, well, I know. Man, we ought to go on our job loaded for bear. We ought to go back to our neighborhoods loaded with faith in God. Because around every one of our lives are other little ships. Other little ships. And if the big ship's in trouble, what do you think's happening with the little ships? What hope do they have if you can't make it? Or you act like you can't make it? That's the message that I saw there. And then God began to call my attention over to the life of Joseph. And you know what the life of Joseph was all about? In the 45th chapter of Genesis, I don't have time to give you an extensive Bible study, but I can give you the reference. You need to read Genesis 45. Joseph is standing before his very brothers that sold him into slavery, put him in the pit, and told his dad that Joseph was dead. Now his very brothers, I'd be a little ticked if I was Joseph, I think. Now those very brothers are standing before Joseph, and he weeps so loudly that the whole palace hears him. What's wrong with Joseph? He's waited all these years, and his brothers stand before him, the very brothers that sold him out. Put him in the pit.
And if it hadn't been for Reuben, he would have died in the pit. And you know what Joseph said to his brothers? God sent me before you to preserve you, to save your lives by a great deliverance. You know you're coming into some Christian maturity when you come to the place to where you say, all that has happened to me is for the glory of God and for the good of other little ships around me. Joseph could have given the word and the guards would have come in and those brothers would have been in eternity. But Joseph weeps. He wails. It's all there in the 45th chapter of Genesis. He weeps and he wails. And he said, God sent me before you. All the hell that man's life went through. Rejection, loneliness, another land, another society. Everything in his life was changed. But he said, all of this happened. God sent me before you to preserve you. God knew that a famine was coming and a phone call would be coming. God knew that a famine was coming and you would get to pray with someone. One of our members shared with me just this week, there was enmity between this man. Neither it's a cousin or a brother. I'll leave it at that because, but anyway, it was in some kind of a business deal. And that man called his family member and said, I want to ask you to forgive me. I don't feel like I handled, I pray I get it all just right. Don't feel like I handled something just right. And whatever is between us, would you please forgive me? And they began to just have a Holy Ghost session right there on the phone. And there was forgiveness from both sides. And what has happened since then has been supernatural. You know, on the other side of our stinking pride, somebody desperately needs God's love through you and through me. On the other side of how I feel, it's all about, you know, just ask someone to forgive you whether you think you need to or not. Forgive somebody. Love somebody. Do a random act of kindness? No, just do a random act of forgiveness. And just let it go. Just let it go. Two more quickly. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel, again, one of those stories of taken out of his own setting. He's in a heathen nation. And Daniel, of course, you know the story of Daniel and the Hebrew children. And yet, God honors him. And he honors God. You know, the test of your character is when no one's looking. The test of your character is not on Sunday morning. Test of your character is when no one sees what you're reading, what you're checking out on the internet, where you're going, what you're doing. That's the test of character. When you say no, when no one would know the difference. And you know, Daniel and the Hebrew children, they could have done anything in the king's palace. They could have done anything. And you know, they were sharp. These guys had gifts and abilities. And they were promoted. And you know, the world system said the only way we can bring Daniel down is through the law of his God. Only way we can bring him down if we can stop him obeying his God. And so the decree was passed. You can't pray anymore. In schools, in the legislature, where else is it going to be? You can't pray anymore. And you know what Daniel's did? He just kept on praying. He had opened the window, and three times a day Daniel would pray. Folks, when is it going to dawn on me and when is it going to dawn on you? We're headed for eternity with him. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of him. He's going to be your landlord. He's going to be your banker. He's going to be your everything. And you know, they passed a law that if you pray, you go to the lion's den. Daniel said, well, you got to do what you got to do. And they said, Daniel, don't you understand? If you don't stop praying, you're going to die. He said, no, you don't understand. I'll die if I stop praying. And you know, this is so good. I'm not going to. take a long time, but I just got to read you something so good. Let's turn over to Daniel 6. You say, well, America's in too big a mess. Everything's in a mess. Well, yeah, lots in mess. That's true. But the 6th chapter of Daniel, it shows you what one man can do. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. That's Daniel chapter 6. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Can you say first? That the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. The delight of any leader is someone that covers your backside. Not someone that gossips on your backside, but someone that covers your backside. Someone that you know you can trust. You know you can trust them. And so the king said, I choose men that I should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was found in him. You need more than a Jesus t-shirt. You need Jesus on the inside. Stories of Legion, when someone honked very loudly and someone turned around, and I'll not even go into some of the things that have happened, they forgot they had honk if you love Jesus on their bumper. Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, verse 5, then said these men, his enemies, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And of course they set rules in order, and the king had no idea about it. And Daniel. Let's go to verse 16. Now Daniel is going to the lion's den. And the lad of the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, are you ready for this? Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, are you ready to listen to the heathen king preach? Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. When the heathen start preaching the gospel, you know something's happening. Now coming down to, you know, as we know, the lions did not destroy him. Verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. God did it again. God is able. Yes, king, the God that I serve continuously, he sent his angel and the lion's mouths have been shut. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages. Are you listening? Wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, all that were under his dominion, of course. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. I'm in Daniel chapter 6, verse 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Well, you can't legislate righteousness. Excuse me. We can't pass legislation that says you have to believe in Jesus. Won't work. Did here. I want to get some fight in us. I'm sick and tired of the church of the living God rolling over and playing dead every time Satan huffs and puffs and comes to blow our house down. He said, I make a decree. It's a law. It's a law that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And he delivereth. Preach on, King. And he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered. Get some fight in you, saints. Get some fight in you, Bible school grads. Get some fight in you, teenagers, boys and girls, young married couples. You're never too young, you're never too old to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Daniel, and see God fight your battles. Man. Other little ships. It's happened to me 3 times this month. Someone acts totally rude, tacky. I mean, offensive in something. We'll leave it at that. And just for a moment, your flesh wants to say, excuse me. And you come back with a soft answer. And I don't pass every test, but I've passed 3 in a row here, and I'm thankful. And that individual turns right around and does you one of the best favors you've had in a long time. Walk in love. The love walk. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But thank God, God is love. You know, Paul made a statement. In fact, 2 things. Paul was always doing something. I've just been having a field day in 1st and 2nd Corinthians and 1st and 2nd Timothy. It's just, man, it's just awesome. I told one of our sons of the ministry, you need to read 1st and 2nd Timothy every week for a while. And he called me back the other day. He said, you're right, Pastor. He said, it has enriched my life. I mean, all the things, you can learn something from a guy that's been there. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying a young preacher came to him to get some counsel and get some wisdom. And for 2 hours, he talked nonstop. And Brother Hagin, just typical Brother Hagin, twiddled his thumbs. Yep, 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 yep. He said for 2 hours, he took 2 hours of my time and I never got to tell him a thing. Someone that's been there can tell you something. You can learn something. And Paul and Silas were in jail. They could have been mad, mean, bitter, cynical. I serve God. I'm a man of God. Here we are incarcerated and our hands and our feet are bound. That's the charismatic's worst fear. You can't get your hands up. And you know what? Paul and Silas said, you know, it looks like we're going to spend the night here anyway. And in the midnight hour, they begin to sing praises unto God. They begin to pray and sing praises unto God. And the other prisoners heard them. Other ships. In fact, Paul said, I don't have the verse before me. Paul said, others have been encouraged by my bonds. Paul said, others have watched me and they've been encouraged by watching me. And then I read that verse again several times this week. Those that have addicted themselves to the cause of Jesus Christ. We don't need alcohol addicts. We don't need drug addicts. We need Jesus addicts. We need Jesus fanatics. Amen. I was following a little red car. Don't you know what it was? Weaving all over the road. 2 teenagers in there. And one was hanging out the window, screaming, yelling, going down the highway, just screaming and yelling. Finally, they turned off on a country road, barely made the turn. And I thought, you know, he's out of his gourd. This kid's drunk. I mean, and the other guy's trying to drive and trying to pull him back in the car. It was just just one of those crazy scenes. And I thought, God help us to be half that fanatical for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's preach the name of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. And the story that comes to me, that I see again, that really what it was all about was the other little ships. There's other little ships where you live. There's other little ships where you work. There's other little ships where you go to school. There's other little ships, and if they see the big ship in trouble, they have no hope. It's time we open our voice and say, thank God. Thank God for Jesus. Peace be still. Share Jesus with people in your life. Never be ashamed of Jesus.